We are so used to pastors. We've been so used to pastors almost over the years. In fact, all of us, when I look at us, I see all of us have grown in the era of pastors. Okay? So anyone who stands up to preach in front of you is called by default a pastor. But that's not the case, because different men and different women who are called to teach the church are called into these specific five offices. And some are pastors, some are not pastors. And referring to others as pastors, it's not wrong. It does not hamper them. It does not do anything. It has nothing to do with titles, because we're not concentrating on titles. We know titles are important, but we're not concentrating on titles. We are concentrating on the function of the title that one has. Okay. So let's not be humble Christians who say, you know me, I don't have a title, I'm just what, so I'm not. No, that's a bit of foolishness. Because these titles are there, they're in scripture. And the moment you begin to tell us you don't want titles because, you know, you are just a servant, you are displaying a level of foolishness, because you are trying to tell us you know better than the one who ordained scripture, okay? So what was I saying? I was saying that not everyone is a pastor. It is the same way when a teacher stands in front of you and you begin to refer to them as doctor. When it comes to the matters of the spirit, it is important for us to recognize the functions of the offices that the people have been called into, for us to open ourselves to receive from the giftings and the anointings that is over their lives. Amen. So we are entering into an era where you will see more people calling themselves apostles or being called into the office of the apostle. You'll see more people referring to themselves as prophets, and this is right. This is how it is supposed to be. This is how it is supposed to be. So we need to learn so that we are not surprised, that we are not taken aback when someone introduces themselves as a prophet and we think they are flossing. No, they're not flossing. They've just been called. So that is why we begin to learn about the prophetic word, because as we enter into this era, there will be more demonstration of the prophetic ministry in the church. There will be more demonstration of the apostolic ministry. But we are also entering into an era where the fivefold as an arm will function. I say that I mention them like this because I need to explain something. This is the office of an apostle. The reason it is referred to by the thumb is because the thumb is the only finger that can be able to touch all the other fingers comfortably. You got it? Well, my stomach means more. Now, to be so much too mean, lazima would try. So, the thumb is the only finger that can touch the other fingers comfortably. And this basically means that the apostolic office is an office that enables one who functions in that office to operate comfortably as a prophet, to operate comfortably as an evangelist, to operate comfortably as a pastor, to operate comfortably as a teacher. This office is predominantly given to the church for blueprint, to translate the heart and the mind of God for the church in years to come, to build. The apostolic office is a startup office. It is one that enables people to dig new ground, to cultivate virgin land, So the apostolic office enables you to cultivate virgin land. The prophetic office is one that gives direction. So the index finger is representative of the prophetic office because it gives direction. It points. The prophetic office points. So as the apostolic office begins to give a blueprint, the prophetic office comes and says, this is where we are going. This is where we are going. This is where we are going. Remember, a blueprint, not many people are able to understand and interpret a blueprint. Do you know what a blueprint is? A blueprint ni ile map ya kujenga nyumba. You see, ile canvas architects wanatoanga imechorwa, imeandikwa hii nyumba itahitaji mawe ngapi, mabati ngapi, mbao ngapi, misumari ngapi. That is what a blueprint is. So not so many people are able to interpret a blueprint. A blueprint is a professional document. What people are able to interpret is the house. Okay? So the apostolic office has been given grace to build foundations, to dig foundations, to describe and prescribe, to describe and prescribe. And then the prophetic office comes to give direction. So where a blueprint has been given, and we know we need timber, we need mabati, we need we need stones, the prophetic office will come and say, this is where we will get the stones, this is where we will get the timber, this is where we will get the sand, this is where we will get the people to build. It points, it gives clear direction that explains the blueprint. And then we have the evangelistic office. The evangelistic office is the middle finger. The middle finger is the tallest finger, unless you are... But the middle finger is the tallest finger, okay? It's the tallest finger. It reaches out. It is the hand, it is the finger that can touch the farthest. Okay? So the evangelistic office is one that reaches out. I want to explain something about the evangelistic office. The evangelistic office, you have to remember that the fivefold ministries were not created for a people who are not in the body. So the evangelistic office is not one to reach out to sinners. That is the work of the believer. The evangelistic office is to reach out for dimensions that have not been acquired in the church, so that the believer in the body can be able to do the great commission, and that is to go out and preach. So evangelists are not just people who fetch sinners, people who preach in crusades. Okay? The moment I begin to teach and preach of new things that have not been introduced in church, new things that sound controversial, and I am teaching them into the body of Christ, I am operating in the office of an evangelist, because I am evangelizing, of Christ. It is evangelism of Christ. So I am telling you who Christ is and what he does. So the evangelistic office is the middle finger. It is the tallest. It reaches out. And also one of the functions is to bring souls. Okay? So one of the other functions, which is a major function of the evangelistic, a church that is not evangelistic in nature, you will find that church does not have people coming to Christ now and then, every now and then. But you go to other churches where every Sunday someone is getting born again. Every Sunday someone is getting born again. They're just evangelistic in nature. And then we have the pastoral. The pastoral is the ring finger. It is the office that takes care of you. When you are crying, you go to a pastor. When you need to be pampered, you go to a pastor. When you need to be taken care of and loved, you go to a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. He has the heart for a flock. A pastor is the one that leaves the 99 and goes for the one. The apostle throws the one in the fire. You get what I'm saying? Yes, the pastor is the one that takes care. So after predominantly in the Old Testament, you see that the apostles did the work of opening churches, and then people like Timothy were sent to take care because they were pastors. Paul would come to Ephesus, leave, go to Corinth, leave, because he's an apostle. His work is to do the groundwork, and then later on write and tell them, this is what Christ says you should do. And then he tells Timothy, as you take care of them, do this and this and this. He's giving instruction to the pastor. So the pastor is one in charge of the flock. And that's why you would find that churches, gatherings that are led by prophets and do not have pastors in their systems, those churches zikona mashida mo. Because this guy is just a prophet. He has no heart to take care and love. But that does not mean that they should not have churches, because of these giftings, there's the ability to raise pastors and have people taken care of from the pastoral point of view. The teacher is the last finger, because this is the only finger that can get into your ear and remove the wax. So a teacher removes the dirt off your ear so that you can be able to hear. This is what enters into your ear and cleans up if you have no earbuds. but that is the work of a teacher, is basically to teach. And you would find that most people, because of the wisdom of God, most people have more than one calling, or most people develop into different callings. So you'd find a prophet, but he has the calling of a teacher. That does not mean he operates in the office of a teacher. Difference. We'll learn about that someday. So the prophetic word, and I was just expanding so that you can be able to understand why we are learning about the prophetic word. So with the emergence and the entrance of the prophetic, it is important for us to know how to partner with the prophetic word that is over our lives. It is important for us to know, one, that every one of us has a word that is over their life. Every one of us, no one walks without a word. It doesn't matter whether they are born again or they are not born again, but every one of us has a prophetic word that lingers over their life. Amen. You have a prophetic word over their life, over your life. It might not have been spoken to you by a pastor, but your father has the authority to speak. And when your father speaks, because of his authority as a father, in the realm of the spirit, that word is considered prophetic. Amen. Amen. So when we walk, we are people who are guided by words. We are people who are taken care of by words. Amen. Amen. And the more we learn of the words over our lives, the more we are conscious of them, the better the output of our life becomes. And I told you, I'm not teaching this so that you can grow materially. Growing materially is obvious. It is obvious. The moment you are joined to Christ, and furthermore, the moment you are joined to His Word, and even further, the moment you are joined to me, you will grow materially. Alright, so we are not learning this so that we can have cars and park them. That is obvious. That is too small. We are learning this so that our lives can be lives of impact. They can be lives of impact. They can be lives of impact. But who said BMW X5 cannot give impact? You understand what I'm saying? Yes, but this is what we say, that our lives have to be purposeful lives that impact people, not just people, but impact environments and impact atmospheres as a whole. That the moment you enter into a space that has not been raining for 3 years, the moment you step into that place, because you understand what you carry, you understand the word that lingers over your life, you enter into a space that has been dry for 3 years, and that night it rains, and from then it begins to rain onward. Because that is what our lives should carry. Our lives carry life. They carry life. So for us to be effective and completely effective with the lives that God has given us, it is important for us to understand and know. And not just understand and know, but begin to activate and actively engage the word that is over our life, so that our living can become easier. There's something my pastor said yesterday, and he said that there are certain things that you cannot get into warfare with because you understand who you are. So someone comes and tells you, a prophet comes and tells you that when you watu wakifika 40 wanapataka diabetes, you don't have to pray and fast. You don't have to pray and fast so that usipate diabetes. No, it is true. It is not a lie. But you are exempted out of that caliber of life. Why? Because you understand what you carry and you understand the work that is over your life. So you do not need to put yourself in torture for 40 days to fast and pray to break something that has already been broken over your life. It is just ignorance that makes you fast. Your reason for fasting should never be want. Your reason for fasting and praying should never be want. I know there's the prayer of supplication where you ask for things, but that should never be a reason you take 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, 40 days to fast. Can you imagine what Jesus was praying for in his 40-day fast? Would you imagine? Like, have you ever asked yourself, what was he praying for? Because it's not recorded. What really was he praying for? Do you think he was asking God to break the generational curses over Joseph and Mary? That they should not permeate through to his life? And having himself known that he carried generations and generations and generations inside of him, do you think he was asking God for those curses not to go through to the next generation? That is you and I. Some things we have to ask ourselves. The word of God, the prophetic word, carries a standard. It carries a standard. It carries a standard. It carries a standard. Remember the scripture when the enemy comes in? Can you say that scripture? Can you say the scripture? When the enemy comes in, like after. When the enemy comes in, the Lord will raise, like after. Like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will. Okay, can you say it?
When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will.
Okay, can you say it?
When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will understand.
Do you notice the difference between what she said and what he said? Mm-hmm. He said when the enemy comes in like a flood. She said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah.
He is saying, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and she's saying, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. You have to understand that there is no time in Scripture that Scripture describes the enemy as waters. Every time there is waters, it is reference to the Spirit of God. So the Word of God is always like a flood raising a standard. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. So it does not, that's why I told you, my pastor was saying, there are certain things you don't have to fight. Because like a flood, a standard has been raised. But you keep on fighting in the, like you, and this is the thing. The flood of the Spirit can sweep you to your disadvantage. Because when a standard is raised, remember it is like a flood. If you do not ride the flood, then you are fighting against the flood. Kukiwa na mafuriko, ukipigana na ya mafuriko yanakubeba. Lakini ukilearn it is easier to swim in the direction that water flows than to swim against the, yes. So when you learn to ride the flood, then you ride in the standard that has been lifted. So the word of God is always a standard. The word of God always sets a standard. So every prophetic word over your life has been spoken to raise a standard. Every prophetic word, whether spoken by a drunkard, whether spoken by your mother, by a father, whether spoken by that guy ule mso wa mkokoteni mwenye mkokotoni yake ilikuwa imekwama ukamsaidia kusukuma akakwambia na ubarikiwe sana, whether spoken by any, that word has been designed to raise a standard. To raise a standard. The only difference comes in, the difference between one who has wisdom, knowledge, and a person who lives without, is that one does not know how to ride the standard, and one knows how to ride the standard, and another one does not even know there is a standard that has been set. It is like, it is like after you finish your campus, eh, now decide kuchoma mahindi. Ukisema hakuna nini? Hakuna kazi. Hauna tofauti na yule mtu ambaye hakuenda shule, na actually yule ambaye hakuenda shule na anachoma mahindi anaweza prosper zaidi. Kwa sababu yeye akiwa hapo anajijua. But you, there is a standard that has been set for you that you are not attaining. You do not know how to attain it, and consistently it will frustrate you. The people who are most frustrated are people who are most taught, but they do not see the teaching providence over their life. Because what it does is that the moment you are taught, the moment the word comes in, the moment you are educated, this is what we say, you cannot unsee what you have seen. So the moment you have been taught, you subconsciously, your entire system knows that there is a way I should be because I have the information. But because you do not live like how you've been taught, it will always frustrate you. Let me say this, it will be a bit confusing, but I think you'll understand it. It is better to be a fool than to be ignorant. What do I mean? I know it doesn't make sense. Grammatically, it doesn't make sense. People who I feel like I should always slap are children of rich men who are out here living in bedsitters suffering because you meet with them and they tell you, manze sitakitu, unajua mi sitakitumia pesa ya baba yangu, nataka kutumia pesa, nataka kutengeneza pesa yangu, nasikia nakupiga kofi. Ni ukosefu wa akili, si ati anataka kutengeneza pesa yake. Na utapata most of them hawajui hata kutengeneza hiyo pesa yao. Unajua fadhali usitumie pesa ya baba yako, lakini uende ukae chini na yeye umuulize, hii pesa yako ulitengeneza aje? Ati sitaki kutumia connections za baba yangu, nataka ku make it on my own. I want to make it on my own. I want to make it on my own. One of the things I use very well is the connections of my father, because that has helped me to preach in places I would never ever preach. I would take years to preach in, but because my father has already opened that door, I'm not foolish enough to say I want to build my career by myself. Because the reason we have lineages, the reason we have a father and a son, is that a father can open up a door for a son. and that a son can have his life much easier than the father ever did. And like that, and like that, and like that. The prophetic word, write this down, the prophetic word over your life stands as a father. It stands as a father. The word of God is the father. I don't mean Father God, I mean father. I mean the function of a father. I mean the function of a father. And the word of God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Because this is a commandment with a promise. Okay? Okay? Thank God for teaching. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for people like us. You see, almost all of us, when I have mentioned that scripture, the picture of your parents has flashed in your head. Right? Right? Because those are the parents that we know. And that is the Sunday school verse that we were taught. And we were taught that these are the parents. What is a father? What is the meaning of the word father? The meaning of the word father is source, where something emanates from. The word father comes from the word to sire. All right? To sire. It is a father who has the ability to sire. To sire is to bring forth. So he is only your father because he brought you forth. And the reason we have a problem, and then we have deadbeat fathers, and then another man came in, and we normally hear terms like, this is my father, but this is my dad. Okay? What they are saying is, this is one who sired me biologically, but this is the one, this is my source for my life. Like, this man is not my father biologically, but he has provided for me entirely. So he is my father, because the word father is source. So when you need school fees, you don't go to your biological father, for those that their fathers decided to do the thing and run away. They go to their dad. Because the dad is the source, so the dad becomes the father. So the father is not the male figure in the family. Father is source. When God began to create, he spoke, and his word became the source to everything. So the word is father. So he spoke, let there be light. And light came out of the word. I'm going somewhere. Light came out of the word. So when light looks at the word, it says, Father. And he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. And as I began, I told you, we are products of prophetic words that are lingering over our lives. So what is happening? Your father is the word. Every prophetic word that has been spoken over your life is father. And then we say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is a commandment with a promise. What is the promise? Long life. How do you attain long, satisfactory life? It's by honoring your father. So how does your life become long and effective? How do you not die in this world? You have to honor the word that is sustaining your life. You have to honor the word that is the source of your life. So when I come to you and I tell you, you are blessed. It sounds so simple. It sounds so simple. But the materialization of the word you are blessed depends on how much honor you have for the word. You are blessed. Why? 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 Because our eyes have not been taught to look at certain words as sources. So that when we bow to them, when we honor the word, there is a promise. There is a promise that when you honor your father and mother, there is a promise. It is a commandment with a promise. So when you look back at the words that has been spoken over your life, the words that have been spoken over your life, you begin to honor them. You even give towards them. You give towards the word. Because giving is honor. And from there, when you begin to honor, it begins to dispose of the promises because it's a principle. And a principle must take place. And anyone who practices principles must reap of the benefit of principles. You can backslide today. You can backslide today. But if you continue practicing kingdom principles, faithfully, you will be more blessed, you will be more enriched than her who is saved, coming to church, lying prostrate, kula vumbi, anamaliza anamka anaenda home. Why? Because you have learned the secret. And the secret is the only thing you will miss is establishing the kingdom and the promise of eternal life. But the kingdom principles, and there are certain principles that just belong to a people who are born again. So, that's why if an Indian will die of cancer, yet they have given all their wealth. But you, when you give, it just doesn't come back as a reciprocation of money. It comes back in health, in happiness, in joy. Because the principle says he maketh rich and adds no sorrow. You understand what I'm saying? So there are certain principles that are laid for the born again man. But there are principles that are open, they are kingdom principles that anyone who does them, anyone who does the benefits out of them, because they don't call manze principles as in a ubaguzi. So the word of God, the prophetic word over your life is Father. It is Father. It is a source. It sires. And that's why I said last week that it is important for us to know our identity, because our identity matches with the word that is over our life. When I tell Kanja she is blessed and I tell Kendi she is blessed, it is the same word in literally. It is literally the same word. But because of the different compositions of their identities, the word that I have spoken begins to is tailored for the identity that Kendi carries. When Kendi decides to betray her identity and begin to live as another identity, she has also betrayed the word that has been structured to take care of her identity. And that's what happens when corruption comes in, because now there's a confusion. Like where unataka kuishi maisha ya Beyonce. Tumemalizia. So the word of God sets a standard, and you see the other thing that the prophetic word is life. Okay? The prophetic word is life. Is life. For life to be termed as life, there is something that has to happen. And that thing is called expression. You are only alive because you offer an expression. The reason we know the difference between Mwangi and Caleb is because their expressions of life differ. Okay? So, the way Caleb has decided to express his life is musically. And then this guy has decided to express his life through electricity, wires, and that's what he does. That's what he loves. So their expressions are different. So the only thing that we differentiate, the only thing that makes a difference between you and the other person is the expression of your life. The life that you carry is more or less the same. Okay? So, wale wase wakulewa, watenda club, wate watalewa, sivyo? But mmoja atalia, na mwingine atatapika. Different expression, same life. Mmoja atatoka hapo, atalala na kila mtu kwa village. Mwingine atatoka hapo, atakimbia kwa bwana yake kumwambia venye anampenda. Different expressions, same life. The word of God offers life. It is life. But the word of God sets a standard. And the word of God over your life, the prophetic word over your life, waits for you to attain the standard so that it can have expression. The word of God waits for you to attain the standard it has set so that it can have expression. My guys online, are we getting this? So, God tells Abram that he will be a father to many nations. He takes him outside and shows him the stars and asks him to count. And he can't count. He says he can't count the numbers of it. And he says, so shall be your children. And takes him to the sand, to the beach. And tell him, can you count the granules of the sand? And he says, I can't. And then he says, so shall it be. But he does not begin to have those many children then. The word of God waits for Abraham to attain the standard of the word so that it can begin to have expression through him. And you realize it is beyond. The word of God, the prophetic word, is beyond the physical. Because this is the promise. Like when Abraham is being told this is the promise of Christ over him. This is the promise of Christ over him. This is the promise of Christ over him. And the word of God walks with him until he comes to Genesis 14 and he meets Melchizedek. And from that moment on, the word of God begins to find expression, because you realize after that his name is changed. His wife's name is changed. And then things begin. He was rich, but after that he becomes extremely rich. So the word of God begins to find expression in him. So the word of God, the word over your life, the prophetic word over your life is a standard. Is a standard. It is a standard. And the moment you just step into that standard like this, you realize the things that disturbed you for years are becoming easy, because now the word begins to express. It begins to express. Then the next time you remember, now I'm supposed to be this and this and this and this, you step into that place. But this is the secret. It is important for us to always have the remembrance of the words that have been spoken over your life. Actively remember them and actively live that standard in faith. Can I give you an example? I've been told severally that I will fill stadiums, okay? Okay? Several times. And sometimes I would ask myself, hey God, with this my height, blah blah blah, my hair is not dark enough. I'm not light. Sometimes I'm not dark enough. Well, so what happens every day when I sit down to prepare to teach? I don't teach in anticipation of the prophetic word of filling stadiums. Every day I teach a stadium. I will not have deeper revelation for the stadium that I am holding on for those days when watu watakuwa wengi. I am teaching a stadium as it is because the word has come forth, and I will not wait for time to attain a standard. I will live in the standard of the word that has come forth. I will live in this. As I hear a word over my life, I will begin, we said last week we have to probe the prophetic word. I will begin to probe. And as I probe, I learn the instruction. I learn the instruction of the word. I learn the instruction that helps me attain the standard of the word. And I begin to live out the standard of the word, because there is a difference between a standard that has been set and a standard that has physically manifested. So we are not waiting to live in the manifestation. Because the moment the word came forth, the word was manifested. Someone said, he, come again? I did allow him. Participants, and then click on his name. Then allow in local file. I'll say, someone said, we have a few minutes and then we go. I think we've not even touched anything on my notes, so next week we're back again. Someone said, he does not think the book of Revelation will happen. I want you to take this. I want you to take this. Listen to me keenly. And don't take this as gospel truth. Don't go and spread it, okay? Okay. But listen to me with an open mind, with a mind that enables you to go and research and learn further. He said he does not think the book of Revelation will happen because it is called, it's called what? Revelation. So if it has been revealed, it has what? Happened. So I took this conversation with someone and I put it out on the table to see how their reaction will be. And then this other person told me, you see, it has been revealed, it has to be manifested. Okay? That sounds convincing, right? So it has been to because it has been revealed, now it has to be what? Manifested. So with my curious self, I took myself so simple to the dictionary and I searched the word money. And the word manifested is a synonym of the word revelation. Check it. Don't take my word for truth. Just check it. The word revelation means also manifestation. Because what is revelation? It is to reveal. It is to make known. What is to manifest? It is to bring into existence that which was hidden. So if something was hidden and it is opened, it is revealed, it is manifested. So the question becomes, is it revealed, manifested in the realm of the spirit, and then it has to now manifest in the physical realm? But that is a conversation that you and your God should have. But this is what I'm saying. Every time we leave, we wait for the physical manifestation of the word, we are denying ourselves. We are subjecting ourselves to the limitful standard of what we call time. Yet you are spirit, and the word is spirit, and everything that affects you is one that originates in the spirit. So the revelation of the word for you is yes and amen. It is, that's why faith is now, because when it has been spoken in the realm that we live in, predominantly, primarily, when it has been spoken, it has happened. So every time you wait for the physical manifestation of it, so that you can live out in the standard of the word, you are denying yourself, because the physical manifestation is never meant for the recipient of the word. The physical manifestation is always there to showcase. It is an image of a substance. And the word that has been spoken over your life should not be reduced to you becoming an image. Remember, I say the word waits for you to attain a standard so that it can show expression. Whenever it begins to show expression, it expresses, and your expression is not for you, your expression is for us. So when I leave the prophetic word, people can call me foolish. No, but I know the standard that I have been called into. So that as I begin to live in it, as I begin to live in it, in no time, then men begin to see the expression of the word. Yet I have been living that word for years and years and years. And that's why they call them overnight, they call it overnight stardom. It is not overnight stardom. There is no overnight stardom. There's no overnight success. That is the word. There's no overnight success. There's no overnight success. Overnight success is a representation of people, it's not representation. Overnight success is what we say when we do not know the toil and the moil and the standard that you have been living in for years. So, how did you get here? I've always been here. Ever since I discovered the word that has been spoken over my life, I began to live that word, and I've always been here. How comes we've never known? Your eyes were never opened to the word that was spoken over my life. What I'm trying to tell you is, do not live a life of darken, of where you are in the dark, over words that have been spoken over your life. Do not live in darkness, yet light has been shed. Like when the word comes like this and says, you are blessed, that means that you already live in that light. Jesus says this, I teach them in parables, lest they understand and repent. We're having a conversation with someone and saying, hey, the teachings of Jesus were simple. No, the teachings of Jesus were not simple. For a long time, I would read the scriptures in red and understand nothing. And Jesus himself says, I teach them in parables, lest they understand and repent, because the time has not yet come. meaning he taught them things that they can, he taught them things that were closed from them, that their eyes were closed to the things that he was teaching. Because the moment their eyes would open to the word that he was teaching, then they would come to repentance. And then what would Jesus do? He would teach them in parables. And then later, when he was with his disciples, he would explain. He would explain the parables. Guess who became the apostles? The people whose eyes were opened to the revelation of the word. Meaning the repentance of the apostles came even before time. So, when the apostles are saying, we are preaching the gospel of Christ, and people are wondering, what is this they are doing? How comes you can do miracles? No. They have been, and then John, is it John or Peter? He says, him who we touched, him who we laid on his bosom, look, they were with the word entirely. So at the time, when the time came, they were the people who would express the word. So there is, there is no way the word can be spoken over your life and it remains parables. Because if it remains parables, that means that when time comes, you will be as surprised as we are. There will be no need for you to have gotten the prophetic word. And that's why we have to probe the prophetic word to understand it, so that we begin to live in the standard that it has been set, the standard that has been set, so that when the appointed time has come, the appointed time is not for us. The moment you receive the word, that is your appointed time. The appointed time is not for us. The appointed time is for a people who spectate on the expression of the word. So, you have to understand, in the morning, Dad has been teaching about the present tense of faith, right? The present tense of faith. Yes, the present tense of faith. And the present tense of faith is where, nowadays when I pray, after I'm done praying, I say, and this prayer is a testimony. Because immediately I have prayed. Even before I prayed, I have been answered. So I don't wait, see, and I don't ask myself, hey, manze ile mobiliyoba, itakam. No. I have learned that my prayers are testimonies of what God has done. My prayers are testimonies of what God has done. So when I pray, I consider it done. If it gets done in 10 years, I have enjoyed 10 years of answered prayer. The answer is now for people who are watching my life. And that inhibits us from living a double-minded life. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you will forget everything I have said, remember two things. That the word sets a standard and always waits for you to attain the standard so that it can have expression. Second thing is that you cannot afford to live a life where every word spoken over you is a parable. Imagine how selfish and wise and sweet this is. I speak these things in parables, lest they understand and repent. So, you cannot blame the 5,000 people who are coming to Jesus' conference by the boat side for food. You cannot blame them. You cannot blame them. Why? Because it was strategically done like that so that they do not understand. What else would they come for? Food. They would come for the miracles. They would come for the extra things that are not substantial. But after he was done with the 5,000, the people who would continue the work of the cross were explained to, and they were told, this is what that parable means. This is what that parable means. This is what that parable means. And at that point, you see, immediately the parable is explained. It is not written, but it goes without saying, your mind, if they do not understand yet, they will repent. What happens to the people who understand the parables? What happens to the people who understand the parables? They repent. And that's where you begin to understand repentance is not a matter of sin. Because now time came so that sin would be taken away. So that there could be a union between repentance and the cleansing of sin at the time of the cross. So these guys, at the time of the cross where they are forgiven, their minds have already changed completely, and that is what enables them to do miracles. That is what enables them to do the extraordinary things that we read in the book of Acts. Why? Because by the time their sins are cleansed, they have already repented, and now they can speak, rise up, and walk. Now they can pray for handkerchiefs, and they do not need time for the work of the ministry to God because they already. So people are wondering, wow, there are people who've turned this world upside down. It didn't begin then. It began way back when they understood. Now it's just a manifestation of time. Can we stand up? I want us to try and come early because we have 2 hours. We just have 2 hours. 2 hours, and then we can begin to pray for our president so that he lifts this thing, so that we can have more time. I want us to come early so that if we are here by 6:55 latest, and we start by 7, I will have more time to teach. Okay, I'll have more time to teach. I can teach until you have an overload, and then you go to the recording. But I can have more time to teach, and that's what I want us to do for a long time. I want us to learn for a long time, so that when we begin to have expressions here, hey, it will be crazy. Amen.